and hot dogs and s'mores and all that wonderful jazzy stuff. Can we turn it down back here? Is there any way to... It's real hot up here. The mics. No, it is what it is. That's all right. Woo! I feel like it's a fair up here. But yeah, we're having a youth event. So if you have anybody, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out. Amen. The Holy Ghost gets poured out in prayer meeting Thursday nights. Amen. In youth services. So if that is so much better. Thank you. So we are excited. We're going to have young people here who are hungry for God. Amen. And there's something powerful that happens when we're able to have youth from other churches. There is a unity among the body. Amen. And that doesn't have to wait till we're, you know, older to get unity. Amen. But we can have unity among the body. Amen. As young people. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles. To the book of 1 Corinthians. I was reading through Psalms, and it'll be 9 and verse 16 of 1 Corinthians. I was reading through Psalms. I read through Psalms chapter 13, and David writes, he says, you know, how long, O God, will you forsake me? How long will your face be hidden from me? And he gets to the end of Psalms chapter 13, and he says, my God, you have dealt bountifully with me. In the midst of feeling forsaken by God, in the midst of feeling forgotten by God, David was able to say, my God has been bountiful with me. I might not see how I'm getting out of this situation. I might be chaste, I might be poor, I might be naked and alone, but my God has been better to me than I deserve. Amen. God has been so good in the valley and in the mountain. Amen. When my bank account is overflowing, and when it is what it is, he's been good in sickness and in health. Amen. Till death do we part, but in death I will see him face to face. Amen. I will see him. He will see me. I cannot wait. My God has been so good. Amen. When we're able to change the way we see things. Amen. Perspective is everything. Amen. That's something so powerful to learn. Perspective is everything. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. I hope to preach a simple message today. God laid in my heart a couple weeks ago when we took a time out. But the Bible says, you know, Paul writes to the Corinthians this. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So I want to preach a simple message today. Simply two words. Just preach. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you, my God. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to my family. You've been so good to my church. But help me, Lord God, not to get so lost in your blessings that I forget, Lord God. I was put on this earth to preach the gospel, to build your kingdom, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to set our nose to the plow and not look back. Jesus, there are souls, Lord God, going to hell right now. There are souls dying, Lord God. Souls in depression, Lord God. Souls that are lost, Lord God. We need to preach. Jesus, I need to preach Jesus. My God, I pray, Lord God, that a mantle, Lord God, of discipleship and soul winning would fall on this church like never before. Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for a burden for souls would fall on this place like never before. Break our hearts for the lost. Break our hearts for the lost. Open our ears to their cry. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. 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 As I told my Bible study dude this morning, it's not coffee, it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's not caffeine. Amen. Paul writes, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. You know what? I don't know if you agree with me. I think you do. But I love being a part of the apostolic church. Amen. There is nothing like being a part of the apostolic church. And I'm talking about even beyond, I love being a part of this apostolic church, but I love being a part of the apostolic church. It's a powerful, awesome, great thing. Amen. And there is power. There is power. That's why our pastor preaches it, to get out of these doors and go to things when they have the things again. When they have the meetings, the gatherings. I miss our midwinters. I miss our youth rallies, our fellowships, our get-togethers. Amen. Because there is so much bigger. You know, this is an army. You know, I felt that impressed on me, you know, today. You know, you look around and, man, where's everybody at? This is an army. Right. Amen. Gideon, you know, we talked about Gideon, but Gideon gathered together the willing and able out of Israel. And God said, you know what? Too many. Right. Tell some to go home if they're scared. And so he cut it down. And he said, this is the army. Amen. This is the army God has chosen for this day. Amen. He handpicked from all of time the billions and billions. And he said, you know what? The end time needs a Kathy Bartram. The end time needs a David, Brother David. The end time needs a Jeannie. The end times needs this, because the greatest harvest is coming. And I save my best for last. Amen. Amen. I save my best for last. I love being a part of the apostolic church, because when I read this word, I don't have to worry about, man, I might find something. I might take it to my pastor and, oh, we might find out that we don't really believe that around here. How many times have we talked to people and they've taken some piece of truth that we have helped reveal to them, whether it be, you know, the fact that in the Bible, you know, in the New Covenant, people are only baptized in one way. And when they take it back to their home church, they find out, we don't really, for some reason or another, we don't follow what the first church did. It was good enough for them, but when the Catholic Church changed it, that's actually how we like it. And other pieces of truth that we have expressed and shown to people, they take it back to their home churches and their pastors say, we don't really play games with that. We do what the traditions demand. We deal with the rudiments of this world, the logic, you know, that's been passed down from generation to generation. That's what that crazy church down the road believes. But I love being a part of the apostolic church, because when I find it, I find out we do it, we live it, we preach it, amen. I might miss a mark every now and then, but that's on me. That's not on this word, and that's not on what my church preaches, amen. Outside of these doors, amen, there is a unity. And we see that when you read through the book of Acts, but that's a beautiful rabbit trail. I'm not trailing, Jason. So as an apostolic people, we truly believe in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is given. All scripture, Genesis, Exodus, you know, all the way to Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. All scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. Not man, but God. You know, Peter said that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? Not caffeine, not just a good idea, not just a prophet, not just an angel, but moved by the Holy Ghost. That same Holy Ghost that moved on the earth in the beginning and said, let there be, and there was, and it was good. Amen. I love being a part of the apostolic church, because we find the word. And when we find the word, like Josiah did, when we find the word, we let the word change us. Amen. We don't find the word and say, man, there's got to be some way that that's wrong, because the way I'm living doesn't line up. But when we find the word, like they did in Josiah, as they began to fix up the house of God, they said, there's the law, bring it to the king. And when they found it, they repented. Amen. He was in sackcloth and ashes, because we haven't lived up to this word. God, forgive us. And God said, because of your repentance, I'm going to push back the punishment. It won't be in your day. Amen. Because God responds to true repentance. The word changes our desires, and it has changed our focus. Amen. Can anybody say that when you have let the word work in your life, it has changed your focus? Some of us have used to be focused on maybe our exterior, how we looked, how we sounded. If we were shy, you know, I want to make sure nobody ever saw me. Amen. But I love watching, especially in our youth group, as young people might be more predisposed to be to themselves, but because of what the word says. Because of what the word says. We start to see services getting posted from here onto Instagram Live. We start to hear about witnessing happening across cafeteria lunch tables. We start to hear about witnessing in school buses. We start to hear about the word being preached, maybe not from a microphone, but from a heart of sincerity that says, this is the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't matter what your parents have told you. It doesn't matter what the word says, what the world has said, but the word. We're hearing it, amen, and it's happening. The word has changed my desire, has changed my focus, amen. And when we let it work, the word will lead us to places where we can say, only God. Amen. I've been led through some situations in my life where I could say, woo, only God. Only God, amen. I stood up here praying, God, touch me. I stood up here believing. My legs were swollen, bad, big. They look like, I don't even know what they look like. Disgusting. Only God. I stood up here believing God's going to help me transfer my job. Sure enough, he does it over and abundantly. We watch as we claim, we believe, we preach. God, heal a woman of barrenness. Give her a child. Put a child in her womb. And my God, 9 months to the day, my God has bring fruit where there was none before. Amen. I love being a part of the Apostolic Church. Amen. It's not just about teaching. It's not just about Bible study, but as they did it in the word, the Bible says that he confirmed it with miracles, signs, and wonders. When the word went, when Stephen preached the word, the miracles followed. Amen. We see. I'm good on time. I got you guys for a while. Praise God. We see shifting of a focus in the life of Saul turned Paul. Could there be more of a shifting of a focus as he chased after Christians, killing those of the way, and having a revelation of a lifetime, getting knocked off his donkey? His focus was shifted. Why was his focus shifted? Because he was a chosen vessel to bear his name. Amen. A chosen vessel. Amen. You ought to look yourself in the mirror. Amen. And understand you are a chosen vessel to bear his name. Amen. You have a purpose. You have a calling. Amen. Beyond just another meal, beyond just another shift at work. But you are a chosen vessel to bear his name. Amen. Yes. Amen. When Paul was saved, he had a burden laid upon his soul to preach the gospel. I love how the Bible words things. I just do. I'm kind of obsessed with it. It's kind of beautiful. He says, necessity is laid upon me. Could you think of a better way to put that? Necessity is laid upon me. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't mean there ain't going to be no burden. There's still a burden. But it's a lighter burden than if you were in the world. My yoke is easy, but it's not non-existent. There is still something to be served. There is still somebody to be served because you're going to be serving. We've heard it a time and a time again. You're going to be serving somebody in this world. You're never just truly, completely, and totally on your own. You're either serving Satan and the devil or serving God. There's no in between. Amen. So Paul had this necessity laid upon him. I must preach. I must preach. And so I want to lay it on us today. The reality. What is the definition of preaching? What in the world do you think that the definition of preaching is? It has absolutely nothing to do with a platform. It has absolutely nothing to do with a microphone. You know, how expensive were their microphones back in Acts 2? How great was their sound system? It has nothing to do with a degree. It has nothing to do, amen, with a comfortability level, being comfortable with it. Because I'll tell you what, not just the first time preaching in a service, but anybody remember some of your first times trying to witness to somebody? Woo! Sometimes you're nervous to say something. Sometimes we're finding out too, you get in conversations where you feel like you are over your head. Amen. Well, guess what? You don't get over your head unless you start swimming. Amen. And you don't start learning how to swim well until you just jump in. Amen. Amen. So sometimes you're going to get over your head. Sometimes you're going to feel inadequate. But you know what? The more you do it, the easier it gets. And one day you find out it's not that awkward. It's not that difficult when I say, guess what happened at church on Sunday? It's not that hard when I say, do you want to go for coffee on Tuesday? Can I tell you about how God just healed me? Can I tell you about what God's done in my family? It just doesn't get that difficult because the more you do it, the easier it gets. Amen. It's a blessing. To preach means to herald. It means a public crier. It means to proclaim. It just means to say it out loud. To speak it. Amen. Because it does take the verbal word. Amen. Wouldn't it just be convenient if we could just be silently just witnessing to people like... But we don't read about that in the Bible. That's not in Acts 2, that's not in Acts 8, that's not in Acts 10, that's not in Acts 19. Amen. We don't see families coming to God because someone just stared at them until they went under the water and were filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't see it. The Bible says that Peter opened his mouth. The Bible says that Paul, the Bible says that Philip, the Bible says that a man of God, a woman of God started to show them the way of God more perfectly. And when they heard the word, they obeyed the word. Amen. We need to hear it. They need to hear it, and they won't hear it unless we speak it. Amen. Not from this platform, but in our workplaces, at our family reunions, at our friends' places. Amen. They got to hear it from our mouths. Amen. To preach means like a public crier. Does anyone have a mental picture of a public or a town crier? I do. I see a man with a trifecta hat. It's a triangle. It's really goofy. He's got a bell. They ring a bell. They still do it, right, Brother Dave? I've seen it. It's an English thing. Cross the pond. And they have competitions. And they ring the bell. And who can get the loudest decibel level out? And so people still do it. They still have a functioning town crier. And what the town crier does is he just makes proclamations from the government. They just make a public announcement. Now we generally use things like Facebook, the radio. But back then, they would have a person standing in the street ringing a bell and saying, "The king is coming! The king is coming! The king is coming!" And they would ring the bell and they would just speak the word. Here's the thing. The town crier was not responsible for anybody's response. Whether or not people responded was on their relationship with the king. If they disobeyed, if they disrespected the king, that was between them and him, and he did his job, so their blood was not on his hands. But as long as his voice cried out, he was doing everything that he was called to do. In fact, the truth is that he was protected by the government. People were not allowed to come after him because he had the seal of the king on him. He acted in the full authority of the king. All he did was ring his bell and cry out, "The king is coming, the king is coming." Whatever you do with it is up to you. Amen. Why? That's what preaching is. All we do is sow the seed. Amen. The Bible says that one sows, another waters, and it sure enough ain't Mark that gives the increase. Only God can give the increase. Amen. Preaching has nothing to do with volume level. We have underground churches in China. They whisper in basements. They whisper in labyrinthuses. Praise God. They whisper. I mean, think about it. Middle East, right? Middle Eastern countries where people will get beheaded, straight up beheaded for being non-Muslim. I'm telling you what, they ain't standing up on their pulpit screaming out into the world. Amen. Because a dead man can't speak Acts 2:38. Truth. That's why we got to take care of these vessels. Amen. Dead men can't preach. Dead women can't preach. We need your vessel. God gave you a healthy vessel for a reason. Right. Amen. Take care of yourself. I don't know why we're on that, but take care of yourself. Jesus. And so they cried out, and we cry out, but it's not about volume level. So hear me, you're called to preach, and it could be across from a kitchen table. It could be at a coffee shop. It could be at McDonald's. It could be at Denny's, Bob Evans. It could be at a family reunion. But you're called to preach somewhere. Every single last one of you, as the Holy Ghost is baptized in Jesus' name, is called to preach, amen, at our schools, at our workplaces, amen, online, on the phone, amen. Use the Morse code if you have to. But somebody needs to hear the word. There's somebody in your life that is waiting for you to just speak the word. Aren't you glad that at some point somebody spoke the word to you? Amen. I could imagine if people who poured into my life said, you know what, I don't think he's going to receive truth. I just don't think that he cares enough. But I'm glad that people took the time and went out on a limb to say, you know what, Mark, lift your hands. Mark, why don't you open your mouth? God wants to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I remember that place where I stood as I lifted my hands, as I cried out to God, and as God began to fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost, not because of me, but because somebody took the time to pray with me and to share truth with me. Somebody is waiting for you to do the same thing. Amen. We just need to sow the seed. You see, when you fall in love with the word, it'll start to burn in your heart. Anyone ever find that out? When you fall in love with the word, it starts to burn in there. When you're not checking off days off your list, but when you start to take the time, that's why I love to take the time with this word and underline and write notes. My goal is to have some Bibles put together. I write notes and I write notes and I write notes. And they're not for me. They're for Judah. They're for Eliana. I want them to read Bibles as they start to come of age and see, this is what Daddy thought. This is what God showed Daddy about Psalms. This is what God showed Daddy. This is what Daddy preached on in 1 Corinthians. This is what God showed Daddy year after year after year. Amen. Take your time with the word, because as you start to pour into it more than enough, it will start to pour into you. Amen. And when it starts to pour into you, I'm telling you what, it's going to overflow into somebody else. Amen. Why? Because we talk about what's inside of us. We talk about what's on our mind. We talk about what we're obsessed with. Amen. If someone's obsessed with sports, they talk about sports. If someone's obsessed with food or politics, they talk about food or politics. But when someone's obsessed with the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, amen, my soul is going to cry out in Amazon. My soul's going to cry out at the line at Walmart. My soul is going to cry out on the phone or on a text message. How good has he been to me, amen? You start to see other people and you think about, man, what could the word do with my coworker? What could the word change in my family member? They're so bound up right now. They're so stuck in depression right now. They're so hindered right now. What could the word do in you? Because I know what it's done in me. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. This is a great question. I think we should try to formulate an answer. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How can you call on him in whom they have not believed? This is where Paul is talking about calling on the name above every name. Amen? And that salvation comes from calling on his name. And if you want to see how Paul called on the name above every name, I'd love to talk to you after service about it. Because people use this passage to say, you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. You don't need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. All you have to say is speak his name. All you have to do is speak his name to be saved. But if that was the case, the demons would be saved. Because they called his name Jesus. The Bible says, the Bible shows in the end of Acts how Paul called on his name. But here he writes, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. You know what? Paul understood that if I don't preach it, they won't hear it. if they don't hear it, they won't be saved. That's all there is to it. If I don't preach it, they won't hear it. If they don't hear it, they won't believe it. If they don't believe it, they won't call on him. I must preach the gospel. I got to preach it if I want them to hear it. I can't sit and think about, oh, my friends are so godless. Oh, my family is so lost. Oh, these people are, they just need you, God. Well, I got to start preaching. The only thing that'll change them is the word, the word, the word. I got to start preaching. Amen. We got to start preaching. Amen. In our homes, in little conversations, God can use a 30-second conversation to change everything with somebody. Amen. We know that. It's the truth. I'll talk about that later. Paul understood that he couldn't count on Peter, James, or John to come and preach for him. Sometimes we can feel so inadequate. There are other people who can articulate truth. It just seems like so much better. I've looked at people and I've heard people, and they do it so well. You ever hear a preacher, you ever go to an event and you hear, I remember going to a youth event where one of our youth from the school got the Holy Ghost, and that preacher, Brother Dillingham, he articulated receiving the Holy Ghost, he articulated being saved, what it takes to be saved, so well. I was like, oh my word, Lord, teach me. Amen. I felt like Solomon. I am a child. I'm just a child going in and out before you, Lord. Teach me how to do this better. But the truth is, God has chosen you for your friends and family. He's not looking for better. Guess what? He found the best when he found you. Amen. He chose you. He chose you. There is no better in his eyes. Amen. He thinks that you're able to do it. Amen. And his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts. So who are we to look up at daddy and say, daddy, I can't do it. Amen. Same way as my little being likes to tell me he can't do things that I've seen him do. How often do toddlers tell you they can't do things that I've watched you do over and over again? Don't tell me you can't put your socks on. Stop that. With the proper motivation, anything is possible. You think that's funny, huh? Tell him he's getting a piece of candy. He's like, woo, I'm about to put on a suit and put on, you know, tie my own tie. But when you get a purpose in your heart, anything is possible. Seriously, when you get purpose into your soul, you will start to do things that you never thought that you would be able to do. Amen. We've seen this so often through women going through the childbirthing process, that they've got a purpose in their heart, that, you know what, I'm going to get through this, and really there's no way out of this but just to get through this. I can't just quit. So you know what, this baby's coming out one way or another, and they start to push through pain, and they start to go through pain. I watch that with my own wife as we started to go through the process, and we went through some scary moments, and I started to suit up, and tears just involuntarily it was my eyes were sweating involuntarily, falling out of my eye sockets as I was scared about my wife, and she was the one telling me it's going to be all right. I feel the peace of God right now. And I'm telling you what, just moments later, a little baby was to be found. Because when you have a purpose in your heart, you can do things that you never thought was possible. Things that you never would have jumped into the first place. So when you get a purpose in your heart that I must tell somebody about Jesus, I must be a witness to somebody, you're going to start to have conversations with people that you never thought was possible. God's going to start to bring you people from high and bring you people from low. Every color, black and white, they are precious, amen. And you can do it when you have it in your soul that necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, amen. Amen. I can't count on pastor going to preach to my coworkers. That's goofy. He's got his own coworkers. I got to start preaching. I got to start preaching. I got to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Do we really believe that if they don't hear about it, they're going to be lost? That's something to really seriously think about. Because we live in such a culture that everything is cool and kosher. That it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you don't offend anybody. Unless I offend you. But as long as you don't offend anybody, it's okay the way you live. Amen. But that's so not what the Word says. That's so not what the Word says. Jesus said, I am the way. If no man can come to God but through me, I'm it. There's no other way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Broad is the gate, wide is the gate, and broad is the way. And there's going to be a whole lot of people going to destruction. Amen? Right. Everything's not cool. We have to obey this. Do we really believe that if they don't obey this simple gospel, they are truly and utterly lost? I pray, I need that revelation to understand that when my friends and my family members, my coworkers do not obey the gospel, they are biblically lost, amen, and on a path to eternal hell and damnation. Think about what that word lost means. Think about what that word lost really means. And if it's kind of difficult to grasp a hold of, think about what it would mean for your own life. To understand right now, I'm lost. That's a terrifying, that's unbelievably terrifying thought. If you could think to yourself, if you could truly and genuinely think to yourself, I'm lost right now. If I were to die right now, I would wake up, I would open my eyes in hell. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And verse 7 says this, but we have this treasure. I'm telling you what, if you have been baptized in his name, according to what the Bible says, if you have received the Holy Ghost, according to as the scripture has said, you have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul writes that we have this treasure, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid not to the church. It's hid to them that need it, the lost. It's hid to the lost, and there's no way, there is no way for them to get to God if we choose not to show them. If we choose to hide this gospel from them. Amen. It's a difficult thing when we recognize how long we've worked with some people, how long we've been family with some people, and have never had a conversation with them about God. That's difficult for me, at least, to think about. I repent. Why? I mean, why don't we? It's awkward. You know, maybe it's not really on topic with what we normally talk about as a family. But my God, is heaven worth it? Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is he referencing as an earthen vessel? He's talking about a clay pot. Clay pots in those days were extremely common. Now, I sometimes we might think of ourselves as a sweet little golden vessel, but Paul says that we are just common vessels. These earthen pots, the implication is that they're frail. What does that mean? That the first time they're dropped, they're normally broken. As in, like, if they were around our house, it would probably take about 12 seconds in the front door before something was dropped and broken and everywhere. They're frail. They're everyday. They're common, and they're breakable. And the thing about an earthen vessel is that because it's so common, because it's so cheaply made, it's so common and breakable, that when they're broken, they're just really useless. They're just normally thrown away. But here's what the Bible says about the broken things. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 17 says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God loves the broken things. Amen. And when we get broken about what God loves and cares about more than anything else, he doesn't call us useless. He says, I will not despise that. That is a sacrifice unto me. Amen. I want to tell you a little story just to talk about the goodness of God. I got really broken on the way to work about the lost. As I was praying, I tried to pray on the way to work. I was praying and just going through my thing. And I started to feel this, man, it's like, man, I pray for the lost. I started to get really passionate about it. I was like, Jesus, I'll give you a little dialogue into what was going on. I was like, God, because I knew I was about to leave Amazon in Cleveland and go to Akron. Like, God, I'm about to leave this place. I need to bring someone to you. It is not pleasing to not win the lost. It's not cool. I was like, Jesus, help me, God, to win somebody at this place. I know I'm discipling people. I know I'm trying to pour into people. And that's cool and that's great and I love it. But God, help me to bring somebody new to you. I got to do it, Lord God. I hate not winning the lost. It's not fun. It's not cool. God, I need you, Jesus, to help me open the door because I can't do it on my own. Anybody ever pray like that? Like, God, this is not cool. Help me to win somebody to you. And this is what happened, because earlier in the week, I talked to a man, and it's so loud, you know, if you've been in factory-type settings, it's loud, and we're in the days of the COVID, and so we're all 6 feet apart, we all got things where we can't see each other's mouths, but I just start to share my testimony with this guy, like 30-second, 45-second intervals, we talk, and then we break, and we talk, and we break, and you know why it started? Once again, because of my shirt. So he sees my shirt, and we start to talk about God. It was about the children's home where I used to work. And we talk about that. And I was able to say, you know what? I want you guys to see my strategy here. Okay, see how this works. Because we've talked about it right here. I said, man, yeah, I know. It's a children's home. They take in kids that are in the system and all that stuff. Yeah, you know. Yeah, because I mean, I was abused. I used to be abused. So I brought it into the personal. Guys, see what I was doing there? Personal testimony. Okay, so I start to tell him, he's like, wow, what, really? Because we never expect other people to have been abused. We never expect other people to have gone through stuff. And so people will be shocked about what you've gone through. Amen. I mean, we just got to see it. It's amazing what God has brought you personally through. It's amazing. We might think it's common because it's our life, but it's amazing what God's brought you through, Sister Jeannie. It's amazing. He's been so good. And so I started to tell him in little 1 minute intervals. Yeah, I mean, abusing children's services and all that stuff. And so days later, I was praying this, pouring this out to God. I was like, God, I don't care who it is. From the top to the bottom, Lord God, rich or poor, I don't care what they smell like. I don't care what they sound like. God, bring me somebody or bring me to somebody that needs the truth. I need to do this, God. Seriously. Like 2 or 3 hours later, this guy comes up. He's like, Mark, I'm telling you. It's like, what you've been through is amazing and stuff. It's like, I'm really just impressed. It's awesome. I was like, okay, that's cool. And then it clicked in my head. Oh, God, yeah. Sir, you want to go out and have dinner sometime and just talk? Of course, yeah, absolutely. So guess what? We're going to go have dinner. You know what? That's not a coincidence. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's a preacher that showed up at my workstation. Amen. He's going to get baptized in Jesus' name. He's going to get filled with the Holy Ghost like the Bible says. This story is not over. I can't wait for you to meet him. Amen. Why? Because when you get broken about what God cares about, he'll answer it. He's answered it for me time after time after time again. It only can take hours sometimes. But when you get broken, amen, God answers it. Amen. Because it's his will to save the lost. But we have to realize that you are the preacher. You are the one. Microphone or not, diploma or not, skill or not, fancy words or not. You're the preacher. You're the preacher. You're the preacher. You're the preacher. So you might think that nobody is listening. So preach it anyways. You might think no one cares. Preach it anyways. You might think you don't have the right words. You might think that you might not have it together. You might think you botched up Acts and Corinthians and Romans and all that stuff. Preach it anyways. You have the treasure. You have the testimony. You have the Holy Ghost. You have everything you need. Amen. And we're going to start closing up as I want to read our last passage. Amen. Hallelujah. My God, I hope you have a desire and an unction in your heart to share the truth with somebody. That's all preaching is. You don't have to scream, shout, and spittle. All you have to do is say, I was lost, but now I am saved. You just have to say, you know what my life used to look like? All you have to say is, you know what? God really moved on Sunday. Like, I go to a church where the Holy Ghost moves and you can literally feel God's presence. I tell you why, I ask people, have you ever felt like the real presence of God? It's amazing. That's preaching, amen? Has nothing to do with screaming in a live stream, amen? All it is sharing about the goodness of God. And so as we end, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. My God. Let's take a moment and pray. I want to pray that God would impart into our spirits what soul winning looks like in Luke 10 and verse 30 through 36. Jesus, I pray, Lord God, for every person in this room. I pray, Lord God, for revelation about what soul winning and discipleship really looks like in this passage. Because Jesus, we get so caught up in what we can physically see, Jesus. We get so caught up in what we don't see happen. But God, show me what it looks like to bring somebody to you, Lord God. Show me, God, because I want to be changed. I want to do this, Lord God. I want to do this the way that you've set up for us to do this, God. And Jesus answering said, because I want you to understand that every parable that Jesus gave is about winning the lost. That's not a hyperbolic statement. Every parable that Jesus gave is about his kingdom. It's about discipleship. It's about building his kingdom. Everyone. So this is about winning the lost. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. So what does this represent? Which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. It's a physical picture of the spiritual. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. And passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to his host, to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. This is a story of winning the lost. This is a story of your coworker, of your family member, of your friend. Because the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a dangerous road. Nobody should ever travel there alone, but this man did. And so it is in our own lives. When we see people who are broken and hurting in the world, so often we can think, oh, it's your own fault you're in that mess. It's your own fault. How many relationships have you been in? How many times have you put that drug into your mouth or that drug into your arm? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think maybe that was something that went through the priest's mind as he walked by this man who should never have been in here in the first place, and he's only here because it's his own fault? It's your fault. 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 I have somewhere to be. No. It's your fault. I'm not messing. I don't have time for that. But there was a Samaritan who stopped. And the Bible says that he poured out 2 biblical pictures of the Holy Ghost from the beginning until the end. What did he pour on his wounds? Oil and wine. He poured oil and wine, because when we start to win the loss, you're going to have to pour out some Holy Ghost. Amen. So often we use the Holy Ghost for our own needs. Amen. God bless my family, bless my church, bless my job, bless my finances. But the Bible says that the Samaritan took the oil and wine that was probably for himself, and he poured out on somebody he never knew. He set him on his own donkey. He set him on the donkey that he was traveling on. So that means he had to walk. This man who didn't deserve to be stopped for, that had now taken his oil and his wine, he set him, and now he had to go through the extra work of walking and carrying a man to a safe place who is beaten and left half dead by this world. And as he brought him to the inn, he gave him the money. Amen. Because when you win the loss, it's going to cost money. It's going to cost time. It's going to cost prayer. It's going to cost fasting. He personally paid to see a man get well. Think about this, that he may never, ever get to see again. Because he went on his way. I never thought about that before. He left him the money. He left him with the innkeeper. And he says, if he's still here, I'll give you more money. But possibly he would never see him again. Amen. Are we willing to go out of our way? Are we willing to pour out into somebody to get saved that we might never, ever see again? Amen. I need to pray. We need to pray that God would open our eyes to the half-dead. The half-dead, stripped and naked people alongside our workplaces, in our families, amen. To those that are hurting and put on a smile on their face that maybe we have passed by time and time again, amen. Because I need to win the lost. I don't know about you. I need to win the lost. I need to make disciples. I feel that necessity is, I absolutely need to do it, amen. And there's a call to this church, amen, to win the lost like never, to make disciples like never before, amen. God is looking for somebody who would be selfless enough to pay the price to preach. So I open this altar, amen. If you want your eyes opened to preach the gospel, to find somebody, if you are hungry for one person, God, Jesus, if your prayer is, God, give me one more. Jesus, give me one person, Lord God. I need to win one person to you, Lord God. I don't want to go another day. I don't want to go another day. How long has it been since I've brought somebody to you, Jesus? How long has it been? It's been too long. I feel it right here. I feel the burden right here, God. I need to win somebody to you, Jesus. I don't want to go another day. I don't want to go another step. Another job won't satisfy. More money won't satisfy, God. But I got to win the lost, Jesus. God, what matters more, Jesus? God, lay on your kingdom, Lord. Your kingdom, Lord God. You must increase, but I must decrease, God.
My sacrifice is less than giving you my veins.
Open my eyes. Open our eyes, Lord God, to whoever is in our lives. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they are.
name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to pray when we pray to ask God to fill us with compassion. And if you use that little prefix, co, that denotes togetherness. It talks about being with someone. And when we receive the gospel, it was brought to us by Jesus Christ. Amen. His power, his goodness, his mercy was given to us. So he is with us. Amen. When we have compassion, it's co-passion with Christ. Christ is in us now. We're not alone. Amen. And if he fills us with his passion, we'll have a passion to reach the lost, to go do the co-mission together. God's with us. You're not going out there alone. Amen. You have the Holy Ghost. You have Jesus in you. You have the power of Almighty God in you to share this gospel like he did. Amen. When somebody's sick, you have the co-power to pray for that person and they be healed and be delivered and be set free. Amen. You have co-passion together with Christ. Pray for compassion. God, fill me with passion with you. Amen. His passion took him to a cross. Amen. So that you could find this great salvation. It's ought to be our commission to take it to someone else. Praise God. Thank you for that great word today. Amen. But that word does us nothing if we don't take it out there and put it into practice. Amen. Use it. Go believe God. Amen. And like you said, if you don't start doing something, you'll never know if God wants you to do it. Amen. You've got to put, Peter didn't know he was going to walk on water until he put his foot over the boat and got out there. Yeah, it was a scary time, the waves and the lightning and the thunder and all of that, but he was determined to be where Jesus was. And I guarantee you, Jesus is out there. Amen. He's out there waiting on you to make that step, and he's going to be right there with you and give you the words to say and give you the power and what to preach and what to teach them. Amen. Hallelujah. Take this message and go. This Thursday, we're going to have missionaries that are staying here in the house right now. The Beebes, they're missionaries to Spain. And I know they're going to Spain, but it's Angora or something like that. And yeah. So they will be here with us Thursday. And excited about what God is to give us their vision. Amen. I'm so thankful that we are not just a church that is focused on us right here, but we're focused all around the world. And also locally in this area, we're doing Christmas for Christ. We're making it possible for brand new works to start up right here in the United States, in our cities. Amen. Praise God. God is using us. Lord, bless us, God, as we go. We pray for Donnie's brother right now, God. We ask you to touch David, touch this court situation in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, give him favor, Lord Jesus. Draw him to you, God. Draw his family to you, Lord. God, we pray that you would give your presence and your power there, Lord God, that you would minister in their situation, Lord. God, you're a way maker. God, pray in the name of Jesus. Fill us all with compassion, Lord. Reach the lost. God, we pray for our missionary this Thursday, God. We pray that this house will be full of those to hear what's going on around the world. In Jesus' name, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Be friendly with one another. Amen. There might be a few more donuts and stuff downstairs. Go down and get some coffee or whatever. Till Mark gets down there.